This is Good Hope Through Grace, broadcast ministry of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. I'd like to draw your attention tonight to the book of Romans, chapter 11. Book of Romans, chapter 11, and we'll continue our study verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book of Romans. Now, before we begin our study tonight, I'd like to invite you to our Vacation Bible School at the Elizabeth Baptist Church. And our Vacation Bible School will begin on June the 18th through the 22nd. That is Vacation Bible School at the Elizabeth Baptist Church on June 18th through the 22nd. And it'll start at 7 p.m. and we'll run it till 8:30 p.m. Now, we'll be having classes for all ages, nursery through adult. We'll also have an adult class, and many of the people in the community and in the church use the Bible class for Revival Week. So I'd love to encourage you to come. We'd love to get some of our radio listeners to come to the Elizabeth Baptist Church Vacation Bible School, June 18th through the 22nd, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Classes, all ages, including adults. So we'd love to see you come. Well, now tonight we need to continue our study through the book of Romans in Romans chapter 11. And what we're going to do is we're going to focus on verses 1 through verse 10. Now, we're going to give this a title, Is God Still Saving Jews? Is God Still Saving Jews? Because that's the question that's taken up in verse 1. I say, then, hath God cast away his people? Now, his people that he's referring to in verse 1, you go back to chapter 10, verse 21. But to Israel, he saith, all the day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. When we concluded chapter 10 last week, we pointed out how the Jews as a whole, Israel as a whole, had rejected Jesus. And this has led up to the question, hath God cast away his people? And this is the reason why we entitled the message, Is God Still Saving Jews? Because that's really the implication of the question, hath God cast them away? In other words, is he still saving Jews? And that's what we're going to focus this evening, is answering that question, is God still saving Jews? Now, he immediately responds to the answer or to the question in verse 1 of chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. Now, that's a strong, strong no. Let it never be, is the idea of the text. So he answers the question immediately with a very strong God forbid. They have not been cast away totally. God then was still saving Jews, and he is still today saving Jews. Now, to give the proof of the God forbid that God is still saving Jews, he mentions himself in verse 1, first of all. For he said, for I am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. So in answering the question, is God still saving Jews? The answer is yes. And Paul uses himself as an illustration. First of all, he said, I'm an Israelite. God saved me. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a seed of Abraham. I'm an Israelite. And he was saved. He was born again. He had trusted Jesus as his Savior. Now, you think a little bit about the Apostle Paul. He formerly, before he was saved, was Saul of Tarsus. He was the chief persecutor of the Church of Jerusalem in his day. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts chapter 9, he went up to Damascus on an occasion. He sought okay and from the high priest to go up to Damascus, approval to go up to Damascus to get the Christians there and to bring them bound to Jerusalem. So he formerly was Saul of Tarsus, a sinner. As a matter of fact, in the book of Timothy, he said he was the chief sinner. He was a religious man, my friends. I want you to consider that. Before Paul was saved, he was very religious. And religious, but at the same time, he was lost. And there's a lot of people that way because they've never trusted Jesus or they don't trust Jesus entirely. They add something to Jesus. So Now he was saved. Now he was born again. Now let me show you some of the statements that he makes about it. He talks some about his conversion in several places. You'll see in the book of Acts where he'd be witnessing to people. And he would tell them about how he was converted. He would tell them about how he was saved. Now in the book of Galatians chapter 1, he mentions this about himself. And this is just an absolute beautiful text in Galatians chapter 1. Let me find a text for you. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. He describes what he was before he was saved. He said, "You've heard of my conversation," that's his conduct in time past, "in the Jews' religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it." So he describes his persecution of the Lord's church. And he said, "I profited in the Jews' religion." So there's what I was telling you just a little while ago. He was religious. He was a Pharisee. As a matter of fact, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had a prominent role in his religion. He believed in God. He believed in Bible creation. He believed in the Ten Commandments and all these things. But at the same time, he was lost because he never trusted Jesus. I'm telling you what, folks, the way is Jesus. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 said, "There's none other name given amongst men whereby you must be saved." Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's it. There's no other way of getting there other than through him. A lot of people's religious, but without Jesus, they're lost. Without trusting him as their Savior, trusting that he died on Calvary and rose again the third day, without trusting the gospel message, which is the power of God to salvation to everyone believing, and to everyone that believes it. Without that, you cannot be saved. So, he was religious, but it was lost. But listen to this in verse 15 in Galatians 1. "But when it pleased God," pleased who? It pleased God, "who separated me from my mother's womb, and he called me by his grace." Now, Apostle Paul, before he was Apostle Paul, as we said, he saw Tarsus. He was going up to Damascus to bring Christians bound to Jerusalem. He wasn't going to a revival meeting, but on his way up there, he met the Lord. The Lord met him, we should say. And the reason why the Lord came to him and saved him, because he was separated from his mother's womb, it says, and called by his grace. So that's the reason why that Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul. In the book of Acts chapter 9, this is what was said about the Apostle Paul. Ananias was told to go meet him and baptize him. Verse 13, then Ananias answered and said, "Lord, I've heard many things of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on your name." That's a good characteristic of God's people, is they call on the Lord's name. They called on the name of the Lord the day they got saved, and they continue to call on the Lord's name throughout their life. But here's what the Lord said about Apostle Paul. I want you to listen to this. "But the Lord said unto him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of the earth." So the Apostle Paul was separated from his mother's womb and called by God's grace. And then in Acts 9, he was said to be a chosen vessel unto the Lord. Now, that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10 that "I am what I am by the grace of God." God interceded in Saul of Tarsus' life, brought him down on the road to Damascus, and saved his soul. And all the glory for that belonged to the Lord. So the question tonight is God still saving Jews? Has God casted away his people? It was what Romans 11 verse 1 said. And Paul says, God forbid. I'm an Israelite. He was saved by the grace of God. So he uses himself as an answer to that question. God hasn't cast away all of his people. There was still a remnant saved, and Paul was part of that remnant. Now, in verse 2, we want to continue on. That's proof number one. Is God still saving Jews? Yes. He saved the Apostle Paul back in his day, and he's still saving Jews today. Now, he goes on and asks this question in verse 2, or a further answer to the question, verse 2. "God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Here we talk again about foreknowledge. And in foreknowledge, the idea of this word foreknowledge is that he set his affection and love upon a people. And that's what he did with regard to those that he foreknew. Now, back in Romans chapter 8 and the verse 29 and 30, he uses the word foreknow. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now, those that he foreknew, he predestinated. And those that he predestinated, he called and justified. So when it says that God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew, that just simply means that amongst the Jews, amongst the Israelites, there was still a remnant of people that he had foreknew in eternity past and would bestow his grace and his mercy on them. There was still a remnant. Now, who reserved that remnant? God is the one that reserved it. And had God not reserved a remnant, then there would have been none saved, and there would be none saved today. Now, the rest of the text tells us I just summarized it, but the rest of the text shows us that great truth. Remember what the message is entitled, is God still saving Jews? The answer is yes. God's not cast away his people. There's still a remnant of Jews saved. Back in Paul's day, there was a remnant, and there's still a remnant down to the day. Now, he's not casted away the people that he foreknew. Those that he foreknew, he will call, and he will justify. Now, he uses the illustration. He says in verse 2, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not, which means know ye not, that the scriptures saith of Elias, which is Elijah, how that he made intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Now, he uses the illustration of back in Elijah's day. You can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 19. He goes back to Elijah's day, and in Elijah's day, Israel was in horrible shape. The king that they had was Ahab. His wife was Jezebel. Most of you know anything about the scriptures know of Ahab and Jezebel. They were the enemies of God's people. Jezebel had brought in Baal worship into Israel, and they weren't as a whole serving the God of Israel, the God that made the nation, the God that chose Abraham to make the nation through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They weren't serving him. They were serving many false gods, but at the time of Jezebel, they were serving the false god Baal. And Elijah, of course, he fought against those false prophets and on Mount Carmel, and you can read all about that in the book of 1 Kings also. I don't want to get off on that. But he became very discouraged on an occasion, and he went about 100 miles from Jezreel to Beersheba, about 100 miles away, and he went out into the wilderness, and he got up underneath a juniper tree and wished to die, and he said what Paul mentioned here in verse 3, I'm left alone. Matter of fact, he said that he was the only one left. Well, God later sent him a word, sent him message, spoke to him in a still small voice, and said, I have reserved 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Now, who reserved those 7,000 men? God did. And if he hadn't reserved the 7,000, there wouldn't have been those 7,000. The nation would have been wholly given up to false worship and no doubt would have ceased to be. But God in his grace had reserved 7,000 men that had not bowed the knee to Baal. So, had God cast away his people? Was he still saving Jews? Paul used himself as an illustration. He said, I'm an Israelite. God saved me. And then he goes on and goes back to the Old Testament and uses the illustration in the days of Elijah, when all seemed like they all were lost, when all seemed like they were, it was so hopeless and dark, the nation was almost fully given to Baal worship, yet God still had a remnant amongst the Jews that was faithful to the God of Israel, that had not bowed a knee to Baal. And they were there because God reserved them. Now listen to the application of this text in verse 5. Even so. And the idea of this word, even so, in like manner. At this present time, there is a remnant. Though he goes back and he uses the illustration of the days of Elijah, and he showed how God had reserved a remnant of 7,000 men that had not bowed a knee to Baal. And he said, even so, at this present time, there is also a remnant. So answering the question, hath God cast away his people? The answer is no. Paul would say, and just like back in the days of Elijah, there was a remnant. There was still at the time of the Apostle Paul, when he was preaching, there was still a remnant. And I'm going to go further to say, there is still a remnant of Jews that the Lord is saving today. And he saves them by his grace, the same as he saves the Gentile by his grace. Saved the same way, saved by the same blood, washed clean by the same blood, and he makes us both one under the new covenant. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I've said this several times on this broadcast. I have a great love for the Jewish people, and the reason why is because the apostles that brought us the gospel, that brought the, especially the Apostle Paul, that brought the message of salvation to the Gentile, and Simon Peter, I appreciate it. The reason, it was a Jew that brought the gospel in the beginning to the Gentile people. And you should be ever thankful for that, folks, and never forget that. And you need to return the favor because there's still a remnant. There's still a remnant of Jews, even today, as there was in Paul's day, as there was in the days of Elijah, even down to the day, there's still a remnant of Jews. That Jews according to the flesh, Jewish born, Israelites that are being saved by the grace of God. Now, let me go further. I've never fully read verse 5. I never fully read it. Now, let me fully read it. And I'm going to show you the reason why there was a remnant. Verse 5 says, even so, at this present time, there's a remnant. According to the election of grace. Now, why was there a remnant? There was a remnant because of God's election. The idea of the word election is chosen, to choose. When we say that God elected, it means that God chose. Same word election is used in the book of Acts chapter 9. And I read that verse earlier with regard to the Apostle Paul. In verse 15 of Acts 9, it says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. Word chosen, there is the same word translated election in Romans 11, verse 6. I'm sorry, Romans 11, verse 5. The election of grace. So, there's a remnant. There was a remnant amongst Israel back in the days of Paul. There's a remnant that God reserved back in the days of Elijah. And there's a remnant today according, now notice what it says again, according to the election of grace. Now, folks, election is a Bible word. We've seen it used already back in Romans chapter 9. It says, verse 11, in talking about Jacob and Esau, for the children being not yet born, having not done any good or evil, at the purpose of God, according, there you have the word used again, according to election, might stand. Now, if it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for God setting aside a remnant, and it wasn't for his election of grace, there would be no one saved. People would just continue right on in their sin willingly, wanting nothing to do with God, because man is dead in trespasses and in sins. And only the Lord can make a man alive And then the Lord can draw a man. John chapter 6 says in the verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that comes to me I'll no wise cast out. That's that famous half verse. We know him that comes to Jesus, he won't cast out. Is that the truth? Absolutely, that's the truth. You come to Jesus, he won't cast you out. But everybody leaves the first part of the verse like it's not even there. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that comes to me, I'll no wise cast out. John 6:44 says that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Thank God for that exception. Is that not true? No man can come except the Father draw him. And he draws you when he saves you. He opens your heart. He opens your understanding. He opens your blinded eyes. And he opens your heart, like we said, and draws you to himself. That's what he does. Why did he do that for you? It was because of the election of grace. Verse 6. Verse 6, like the many other verses in the book of Romans, is just a great verse to remember. If by grace, then it's no more of works. See, grace and works are two opposites. You're either saved by grace, and it has to be all grace. It's not saying that those that are saved by grace don't do good works. You do good works. Ephesians 2:8-9 is a verse we quote all the time, but many times you leave out verse 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works. It's not of works. Lest any man should boast. You see, the salvation which is by grace excludes boasting on man's behalf and puts all the boasting on the one that saved you. Salvation by grace puts all the glory on God, on Jesus. Anyone that goes to heaven is not going to be bragging on himself and how hard they worked to get there. As a matter of fact, they're not going to make it if they're trusting in themselves. That was one of the errors the Jews made, is they trusted in themselves. They were trying to trust in the law and in their works. It's the error that the Pharisees made. They trusted in themselves. You got to trust in Jesus. You got to base your hope on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, or you won't make it. The only way you'll ever make it is by trusting Jesus. That's why he said he's the way. So it's of grace. It's of grace. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus in two good works. So those that are saved by his grace through the means of faith will do good works because they love the work, because they love the Master. They want to glorify him. The purpose of works, Matthew chapter 5 says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works, glorify your Father. See, the purpose of our works is to bring glory to the Lord. They have no saving value in of themselves. Your works is not what saves you. Let me read Romans 11:6. If by grace, then it's no more of works. It can't be part grace and part works. And that's the problem. That's a false gospel. That's a fallen from grace message, too. One of the texts in Galatians chapter 5 speaks of fallen from grace. Fallen from grace, what was they doing that qualified that statement, falling from grace? They added circumcision. They said you need to be saved by believing on Jesus, plus you need to be circumcised after the manner of Moses. Well, they just lost grace there because they added a work to it. You see, salvation has to be all by grace. It can't be half by grace. It's either by grace or it's not. The moment you add a work to grace, you don't have grace no more. That's why Romans 11:6, if it's by grace, then it's no more of works. So it's all of grace, my friends. It's all by his grace. And then you work after receiving God's grace. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that he labored more abundantly than they all, but he wasn't laboring to get saved. What Jesus did on Calvary is what saved him. I've told you many times on this radio broadcast, eternal life is not a prize you earn, it's a gift you receive. Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life's a gift. A gift is something that was purchased by another, bought and paid for by another. Jesus bought and paid for eternal life by dying on Calvary and rising again. And how do you get a gift? You receive it. You receive it. As many as receive Him, to Him gives He authority to become the sons of God, the children of God. You receive the gift. You trust Jesus. You trust that He died for you. You put your sole hope of heaven in Him. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. And you receive the gift of eternal life. But this says the wages of sin is death. What's the difference between a wage and a gift? A wage is something you earn. But you see, the scriptures are careful not to call eternal life a wage. Eternal life is not something you receive because of your work. Eternal life is a gift that Jesus bought and paid for by dying and rising again and gives to you by faith. You see, wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So, it's by grace. If it's by grace, then it's no more of works. And if it's by works, then it's no more of grace. That just simply shows you that you cannot mix the two together. All right, verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which it seek for, but the election hath obtained it. There's the word election again. The reason why there was a remnant was because of election. That's the same thing he said back in verse 5. He repeats it again in verse 7. And it says the rest were blinded. Verse 8 talks about, quotes Old Testament scriptures, which refer to their blindness. Verse 10 says, let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down at their back, and bow down their back always. So it stresses their blindness. Well, folks, before we were saved, we were all blind. We were all blind. The old writer of Amazing Grace knew that, did he not? I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. But now I see. We were all in darkness. We were all in dead, in trespasses and sins. And then what happened? The day we were saved, God gave us light. He illuminated our minds. The God that caused the light to shine in darkness also shined in our hearts, 2 Corinthians 4 says. And He gave us light. So is God still saving Jews? Absolutely He is. He did save Paul. He had a remnant back in Elijah's day. He had a remnant in Paul's day. And He has a remnant today. He's still saving. How's He saved him? By His grace. Through the means of faith in Jesus Christ. And my friend, He'll save you the exact same way if you'll trust Him. May God add His blessings.